Bible says here, and I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. Father, bless the reading, the hearing, and the preaching, and the doing of your most holy word. In Jesus' name, amen. Saints, we've been in 2 Samuel, and we observed how Amnon lusted after his own half-sister Tamar, if y'all remember. And he could not do anything to her, because in biblical times, especially in the Old Testament, they watched their girls, amen. And we've been just trying to encourage, hallelujah, every saint under the sound of my voice to really, really watch those children. Amen. Well, because of the safety mechanisms of the early Hebrews, Amnon couldn't do anything to Tamar. And his lust was put in check, and that was over, at least for the moment. The Bible says that Amnon had a friend, Jonadab. And this wicked friend concocted a plan so that Amnon can get Tamar alone. Amnon pretended to be sick. David came to visit him, and he asked David for Tamar to come and cook for him at his house. We talked about David not knowing his children well enough, because if he knew his child well enough, he would have never sent Tamar over there. But he wasn't paying attention, and he wasn't shepherding the heart of his child. David sent Tamar, and Tamar went. She proceeded to cook. If you remember, Amnon put everybody out the room. He said, have everybody out away from me. And the Bible says he grabbed her by the hand, and he said, lie with me, my sister. And last time I was up here, it had been a few weeks ago, we talked about how Tamar responded. She said, number one, nay, my brother. She told him no. And a lot of the times when you say no to sin, that'll cut sin off right then and there. Because the devil can't make you sin. He can only tempt you to sin. And most of the time, unless it's a situation like Amnon, once you just say no, that's over with. And we told you that when you stand up to sin, that God is going to bless you. Every test you pass, a blessing is going to come. Amen? And so that inspires us to say no to sin. Because God, amen, he blesses obedience. Every right decision is going to bring a breakthrough in your life. Every single one. Every single one. All right? And the second point, we say not in Israel. She told him, she said, listen, this should not be happening in Israel. And so we talked about sexual morality and fornication, and we stated that it should not be in Christians, but it should not especially be in the Hebrews. Reason why? Because that's the reason we're in the mess we are today. We talked about 72% of the black homes have single parents. 72%, you see? And so we need to fix that. We're going to talk a little bit more about that, amen, this evening. And lastly, she described his actions as folly, foolishness, sin, against the very word of God. And we covered 3 points last time. And so tonight we're going to cover the final three, or maybe two, depending how it goes, amen. And if you saw the 6 points, I'm going to change, like, the title of two of them. You know, instead of my shame, it's going to be an I. Fools of Israel, as for thee, I'm going to change that up a little bit. I saw something else in the scripture that the Lord wanted me to focus on. Amen. It's the same point, but I'm just entitling it differently to give emphasis to something else. As for thee. And the third point would be speak unto the king. Somebody say, speak unto the king. Because that's where it's all at. If you talk to the king, you can get all your problems solved. Amen? So we're gonna talk about that. Now, just to be real with you, I think my wife told me to. She said, you'd be lucky to get past point one. But I'm thinking I can get 2 points out tonight. Amen? I'm thinking I can get 2 points. And I'm going to try to move fast. I'm going to try my best. But you know when the spirit hits you, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it is what it is. So what I'll do, I'll set a time limit on myself. And wherever I am at that time, I'm going to go ahead and stop. Amen. That's good, pretty? All right. First point, and I. Amen. And so in 2 Samuel 13:13, the Bible says, and I, whether shall I go, whether shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Remember, Tamar is trying her best to give Amnon the reasons why he should not do what he has planned to do unto her, to force her to commit sexual immorality. And when I looked at it in verse 13, the first two words, and I, she say, and I, whether shall I cause my shame to go? She's telling Amnon, she's saying, listen, after you decide to do what you have in your mind to do, what's going to happen to me? She say, and I, what about me? I know you done thought about yourself in here, but have you considered the repercussions of your actions upon me? She say, and I, whether shall I go? You see? And it spoke to me. Amnon, are you just thinking about yourself here, man? You know? And usually, saints, amen, this is all that lust, fornication, adultery, homosexuality, rape, pedophilia, all sexual immorality rarely considers the other person. It usually only focuses on self. All right? Self-pleasure, self-gratification, selfish ambition, self-aggrandizement, to make yourself look good, feel good, to get that man with the status or that woman with the shape, whatever it is, all right? But sexual immorality, and no matter what facet, no matter what form, is always based on selfishness. She says, and I, what about me? You see? The single man does not really biblically consider the woman that he fornicates with that's not his wife. He doesn't consider. Not biblically. No. It ain't for y'all, it's for you. All right? Neither does the single woman consider the man when she, hallelujah, seeks to lie down with him. Now listen, you already know what kind of word it's going to be tonight. All right? We're gonna give ourselves what we need tonight. I'm not saying it's gonna feel good. I'm not even saying it's gonna look good, but it's gonna work for our good tonight. Amen. Woo! Listen, we're gonna give you some Pepto-Bismol, some milk of magnesia. The stuff that tastes good, tastes bad, amen, but do you good. All right? Sexual morality rarely considers the other person. You see? The remarried man does not biblically consider the other woman that he commits adultery with. He don't really consider her. You see? The married woman don't really consider the man that she committed adultery with. The woman that played with the married man, she don't really consider the married man in his life and everything else. And the man that seeks to take a woman out of her matrimonial bonds, he not really thinking about her. He just really thinking about himself. Tamar says, and I, what shall I cause my shame to go? You see, Tamar says, what about me? Listen, I want to talk about the negative effects of sexual immorality on the other person. It's not going to be about you for this first point. It's going to be about the negative effects of your lust, of your fornication, of your adultery, of your homosexuality, of your pedophilia upon the other person. And I, whether shall I go? As we consider the other person, we see it's wrong to commit sexual immorality. Why? Number one, because we cause the other person to sin. That's number one. You see, it's one thing when you sin, but when you begin to be a proponent of sin, a distributor of sin, a sin dealer, that's a totally different thing altogether. You see? It's something when you man enough or woman enough to individually sin against your God, but when you incite others to rebel against the Most High, that's a totally different thing altogether. But we rarely consider, amen, that we are sin peddlers when we go to fornicate or when we go to adulterate. You see? But that's exactly what it is. We are dragging a third party into sin. And I remember what my God said through Jesus. He said, listen, it's impossible that but offense come. He says, but woe to the one through whom it comes. Woo! Have mercy. I'm talking about the people that's causing people to sin against their God. We understand that God is love and God is mercy and God is gracious. But do we also understand that he is holy and that he is just and that he is jealous? Oh, God, have mercy. Come on, somebody. Help me preach this thing. Listen to me. Listen to me. This is going to help you now. This is going to help you with that woman at work. This is going to help you with that man that's flirting with you on the job. This is going to help you right here. Because you need to look at them and see what they're offering and say, nah, I won't be a sin peddler. I won't push sin. You see? I'm not going to do it. Sin, this sexual morality is of the flesh, and I'm not going to incite flesh. It's wicked, it's evil. I'm not going, hallelujah, be the catalyst for evil. You see? Because while my God is trying to eradicate evil, here I am, amen, helping to start it. No, 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 friend. When we consider the other person and us literally tying them to us and taking their hand and leading them into disobedience and sin, if we would consider that, we would not fornicate. We would not commit adultery. You see? It's kind of like, amen, you had a child and that child had a friend. And that friend was always getting your child into some detrimental trouble. Get that child locked up. Get them into fights. Get them stealing. Get them doing different things. How would you feel about the friend of your child that led them into sin? Why would it be any different from the Most High to look down upon his children and look upon his children and figure out that his child would not be in that sin but for you? Some of y'all, if your child's friend was bad enough, y'all would try to put your hands on that child's friend. They come to the house, y'all try to lock the door behind them. Let's talk about a few things. You ever tasted a knuckle sandwich? How in the world can we expect anything different from our God? It's one thing for a man to sin by himself. It's another for him to take the hand of somebody else and lead them to it themselves. Second point. It's not only leading people astray, but it's also leading people into bondage. Let's consider the other person in sexual immorality for a second. Right? We not only lead them into sin, but we lead them into bondage. Pastor, what you're saying, there is an element of bondage with sin. See, we think of sin, but we forget about the bondage that's associated with sin. All right? What you mean, Pastor? Every time sin is committed, sin tries to enslave the one who commits it. Ooh, come on, somebody. Help me preach this thing. Listen to me. Sin will not let you sin so easily. Did you hear me? Sin will not let you sin so easily. Because a lot of the times we think just a one and a done. Huh? Just a one-nighter. Just a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Huh? Sin ain't going to let you get off the hook like that. No. Don't you remember what the Bible says about sin in Genesis chapter 4, verse 7? How sin lieth at the door, crouches at the door, and the King James says it desires to have you. And in the New Translations it says it desires to control you, to master you, to usurp you, to have, hallelujah, its influence, exert its influence on you. You can't sin without sin putting its hooks of bondage in you. Hallelujah. You sin and sin grab on, baby. And you think you're just going to sin and leave without sin leaving with you, but sin is on your back and it's coming, baby. Amen? Amen? There is a bondage element to sin. There really is. And we should not want to drag other people into sin, because not only do we incite rebellion against our God, but we are actually enslaving people. Oh, God have mercy. Oh, come on, somebody. We enslaving people. We might as well be taking the shackles and the handcuffs and putting them right on them ourselves. We enslaving them. We leading them to bondage. Listen to me. In the 1800s, there was a group of people called slave speculators. And the slave speculators, what they would do, amen, they had a mandate that if they found any runaway slaves, they can bring them back to their masters, amen. They would capture them, bring them back to their masters, and they would receive a reward for locating lost or runaway slaves. But the slave speculators saw that the business, amen, was a little bit too slow. Not a lot of slaves was running like they needed to run. It wasn't a lot of money. So the slave speculators came up with an idea. We're not going to catch runaway slaves. We're going to go up to the neighboring northern states like Pennsylvania and the cities like Philadelphia and Ohio. And when we find free blacks, free Hebrews, we're not looking for runaways. Amen. There's only a few runaways, but there's a whole bunch of free black slaves up north. We're going to trick them. We're going to tell them just jump in the back of this buggy. Just into the hull of this ship. And we promise you, you're going to find work and be able to find you. You'll find work. Yeah, you was about to find work, all right. But they promise you, you're going to find work. The slave speculators, amen, would load them all up, amen. We going to the job site right now. And guess where they would end up? In the South on the plantation. That's the whole premise that the movie 12 Years a Slave was based on. Slave speculators. People that would catch free people and bring them to slavery. Are you a slave speculator this evening? Huh? Are you, through sexual immorality and your body, using your body to enslave the free people of God? Because every time they sin with you, they sleep with you, they adulterate with you, they sleep when y'all not married, they engage in homosexual activity. Every time they engage in sexual morality with you, you're bringing them to the plantation. And not the plantation of the South, but the plantation of Satan, which is a way worse plantation. Have you considered other people? Have you considered other people for a reason why not to commit sexual immorality? It's not just about you. It's not just about the negative effects upon you. You're a sin peddler, amen, and you're a slave speculator. You bring people straight to bondage. Listen to me now. Imagine a mama or a daddy, huh? They could remember that night when their child was normal. not on any addictions, not on any drugs or whatever. And then one day this dark personage come by the house. You know? You could tell something not right with him. And after that moment and that friendship with that person, now your child hooked on some type of drug that won't let him go. It's like this person entered your child's life, addicted them, bound them. Amen. And it led to a life with some very egregious results. Listen to me now. How would you as a parent feel to the person who sold them or gave them that first drug? The one that put the handcuffs on them. Christian, listen. Don't take light just lying down with anybody. Don't take light just giving your body up to somebody. All right? You don't know what the rest of that person's life that you start that little one-nighter with going to look like. That young lady could end up doing things, amen, that her parents never raised her to do. Whitney Houston, brother, confessed one of the worst things that he ever did in his life. And that was to introduce drugs to his sister, Whitney. There was a guilt that was upon him. He confessed it to mama and to daddy. It just couldn't shake him. Because he had led somebody into slavery. I know Hollywood, hallelujah, make hallelujah sexual sin look like it's beautiful. Make it look like it's okay and it's normal. You don't understand the spiritual implications of what's behind the act. Hollywood can't mimic that. So for our young ones, when our parents, when we on you, when we trying to make sure that you're raised in a nice atmosphere and you're not into all that. Listen, you think we crazy, but we ain't crazy, no. No. We understand the bondage. We understand the bondage. You see? Ain't nobody can understand a bondage like a slave. See, some of us look at these kids and we still got the shackle marks on our neck. Some of us still got the shackle marks on our wrist from being bound by this. Having to struggle through marriage and struggle through. We trying to save y'all some stuff, man. Young ones, listen. Trust God. Trust his word. Trust that he know what he's talking about. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Don't lean to your own understanding. Don't lean to devil vision. Don't lean to what your friend's doing. Don't lean to that. This stuff right here will ruin your life. But listen, we're going to keep on going. Listen to me now. Sin lieth at the door. And the desires to master you. To control you. You see? Christian, be careful. Be careful. And in the spirit, I discern, all right? That there is a pull, a fleshly pull of sexual morality, a scent on the wind, a whisper. It's as though it's the season of temptation we in. And for every season, we got to get ready for that season. If winter coming, we kind of change our closets out and bring our sweaters up and do it. Are you ready for this season? This is what this word is about. To help us get our mind focused and get our mind right. Third point. death? Have we considered others? Have we considered others, the other party, when we commit sexual immorality? You see? Tamar saying, what about me? I know you're going to feel good and you're going to get what you've been planning. What about me? What's going to happen to me? I'm going to sin against my God. I'm going to have some kind of bondage in my life that I never had before. And death. Death happens to the other party. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. But we think about this word death as just the cessation of human life and human activity. We think of physical death. But I want to go deeper. It's not just physical death that sin brings. Oh, come on, somebody. Woo! It's not just the cessation of life. But it's the cessation of life. My God, what is life? Life is growth. Life is production. Life is profit. Life is love and joy and peace. For I have come to give thee life and life more abundantly. But the wages of sin is death. But it's not just physical death. You see? But it's the lack of success and profit and reproduction. Is everything that's good in our life, is the Greek word zoe, is everything that's good. That's what sin destroys. You see? And so when we consider another person and we say, well, should we consider doing this sexual sin? We should say, I don't want to lead them into sin. Ha, I don't want to lead them into bondage. Ha, I don't want to kill their lives. I don't want to kill their lives. What you mean by that, Pastor? Listen. These people end up broke, in poverty, trouble, sorrow, pain. Anguish. There's always a consequence to sin. Sin not only hook up on you to bind you, but sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. That's what the scriptures say. And it's not just physical death. You see? Proverbs 21:17. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. Financial debt. You see what I'm saying? People don't think about that. They come down with the other woman in adultery. They come down with the little single man, single woman. Oh, I love you. You don't love me. Because by you trying to do that with me in sin, you're trying to kill me. And you're trying to take out everything that I have good in my life. You're trying to take away every blessing that I have. All right? Because when the sexual morality involves a married man or a married woman, the wages of sin equals death means that when you participate in activity like that, that sin begins to activate a death that begins to eat up and just rust away and deteriorate your marriage. Whether you could see it or not is irrelevant. Whether you could make the connection or not. And a lot of times people don't make the connection. They start cheating and they say, I don't like my marriage. And it's kind of like what came first, the chicken or the egg, because we can't tell, because most of the time it's all right. The wages of sin is death. We don't think about the death that we just breathe into the life of somebody when we do that. Listen, that's why Paul told us through the Spirit of God. He said, love is the fulfillment of the law. He said, all of the law is summarized in that you would love your neighbor as yourself. You see, because if you would really love somebody, you would never take them into sexual immorality. You would never want to breed death. It's like going in somebody's life and round up in their life. Round up the whole thing. Throw some gas on, set it on fire. That's what we do. And we see little girls and little boys, amen. Nothing work out in life when sin enters the picture. But we fail to make the connection. People lose jobs. Wages of sin is there. People start to lose jobs and just job gone. People lose ministries. You see? I was just on the news, man, and I'm just kind of studying for this or whatever like that. I see a clip of Pastor in Ghana. You know? And they got a picture of him, Patrice. He in the bedroom with a woman. He got his hand in his face like that. Ministry, go. The wages. I bet that little woman wasn't thinking about his ministry when she laid up with him, no. Oh, I love you, I love you. You ain't love him, you. Not just ministry, but anointing. Woo! Because the wages of sin is death. Anointing. Gone. Gone. We're going to talk about it here in a second. We're going to talk about it here in a second. Political positions. Gone. You see? I think of examples like Samson, huh? That little woman, Delilah, she liked his muscles and how strong he was. But the very thing she loved about him, she helped kill in him. King Solomon, sexual immorality. Stop worshiping God, wisdom pretty much gone. Kingdom split after him. Even David, saints. Even David. Sexual morality and death just breathed into his life. Roundup on everything that he had. And this is what we're studying right here as a result of just death entering in his life. You see? We never consider others. And we never consider the effects of our lust and our desire for sexual morality on the lives of other people. You see? Sin, bondage, death, hell. Hell. How would you like to be the person responsible for sending somebody to hell? We got a lot of things that we want to do in life and have our name on a lot of different things, and we want to get trophies and plaques and have accomplishments. I wonder if this is on anybody's bucket list. Amen. Where they doing interviews in hell and it's like prison, man. Man, what you here for? What you in for? And that little man pull out a picture of you and say, huh? Or that woman pull out a picture of you and say, him? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, y'all all right, y'all? I mean, I'm just saying, you know I love y'all and everything, you know? But this going to help you, yeah? Well, we want to, you know what I'm saying? We want to keep it pure and we want y'all to be blessed, but that's not going to happen if. In 1 Corinthians 6, look what he says. He says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, first one, neither fornicators. Sexual immoral, they not going there. You know. Now, we all done been sexually immoral before. But thank God for the blood of Jesus. We've been saved and forgiven and bought with a price. And after we've been saved and washed, amen, that habitual activity ceases. If it does not cease, then it means that the work of salvation has not been fully accomplished in you. You see? And that's why it says, neither fornicators. You see, those that have a pattern of life, hallelujah, until they die, they are fornicators. They just sleep around. He says, idolaters, adulterers. He says, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind. If we look at the NLT, amen, he tells us what that's about. He says, male prostitutes. And he says, hallelujah, those that practice what? Homosexual. I don't care what the media say. I don't care what the news say. It don't matter what the news say. Now, a homosexual can be saved. Just like a heterosexual can be saved. And those sins can be forgiven. Just like our sins can be forgiven. But if they continue the practice of homosexuality, it's evidence that the work of salvation has not been fully completed. And if you die in that sin, you're going to bust hell wide open, just like the fornicators, just like the adulterers. The funny thing about it is that adulterers and fornicators not going to court. And not mad that we call their lifestyle sin. You know what I'm saying? That boy come out there and he's going to have a Supreme Court case. You know? I'm an adulterer. It ain't sin. I'm a fornicator. It ain't sin. Why in the world the only group that's fighting whether the designation of their lifestyle is correct is the homosexual? I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying. Sin is sin. You know what I'm saying? Sin is sin. And really, I'm up here and I'm not trying to make one sin worse than the other. No. We all got some things that we're born with, some things that we struggle with, some things that then came upon us. And the clarion call of God is the same for all of us. Get saved. And do your best to be holy, for I am holy. That's the call for all of us. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. You see? But here it is. When you commit sexual sin, have you considered that woman that you're shacking up with, that man that you're living with, that you're not married to? Have you considered that you could be the reason, if they died before they woke up that next morning, you are the reason that they in hell? Have you considered that? How are you going to live like that? You see? And a lot of times, people that's in sexual morality, whether it's adultery or whatever, they won't even come to God because of the sin that y'all in. They won't come to church. They won't come to the altar call. How many times you see me up here preaching, telling them people, look, don't wait till you get right, come. But really, in their heart, they don't want to come here while they got this other man or this other woman. Right? So your sexual morality with them keeps them out the house of God. Keeps them from hearing the gospel. Keeps them from being saved. And ultimately will be the cause of them busting hell wide open. Tamar say, and I. What about me? What about the third person? You see? You tired? All right. And saints, listen. This is the same thing with all sexual morality, fornication, adultery, homosexuality, rape, pedophilia. It never considers the other person. You know, I'm not even going to get into the psychological effects. the sociological effects. Because when you consider those, amen, then it's even just a bigger case of why not to be with somebody that's not your husband. All right? Psychologically, you sleep with this woman, now you got a soul tie with her. And a woman wasn't made to sleep with somebody and then leave. That's not what she was made for. She was made to be with somebody, amen, that was going to be her husband, going to wake up, be there in the morning, put some coffee on, you understand what I'm saying, cook some breakfast, all right? That's what it was there for. But every single time you come in here from pillar to post, make a soul tie with her, and then rip yourself off of her soul, leaving half a person on the way out. This woman been treated like that 10, 15 times throughout her life. You see? Could you imagine the psychological effect of abandonment and rejection? Of being something that you was never, ever created to be? You was never created to be the other woman or the night nurse. You was created to be a wife. Well, I said I wasn't going to get into it, but while we're here. You see? And young woman, don't let that boy do that to you. Don't let him do that to you. All right? Tell him no. You draw the line in the sand. Tonight is enough. We're not going to be the cause of each other going to hell. I'm not going to be the culprit of sin, of bondage. It's just not going to happen. It's not happening. It's not happening. Listen, young lady. Listen to me good, all right? Listen to me. As long as you're playing with this Joe Blue, you know, you're not going to meet the man that God has for you, all right? All that back and forth, all that stuff like that, whether y'all single or whether he married, amen, you're wasting time, all right? Listen to me good. Let me tell you something about a man. The man say, oh, Lord. Let me tell you something about a man. All right? If a man need a call, but he can come by your house and use that car anytime he wants, find that car full of gas, clean up, armor all on top, car looking good, smelling good on the inside, car, fresh new car smell. Listen to me now. Why would that man ever buy the car when he can just go by you and use the car whenever he wants? He just come. We going out, believe. We going to go to Lake Charles. Why would he ever buy the car? All right? You got a car for sale, but everybody that want to use the car, you let you. Well, not everybody. I'm not trying to put you out there like that. I'm just saying. You know? The women like, oh, you're going to get an email after this one, Pastor. No, listen. Man, I'm trying to help you, man. The psychological effects. We're not even talking about, amen, the familiar effects, the family effects, the family structure, community, sociological effects. We're not even talking about that because when you come in there, in and out, listen, what if somebody get pregnant in the whole deal? Huh? And I, what about the other person? You're not thinking, you're just thinking about yourself. What if somebody get pregnant? Now they got to go through a whole pregnancy alone? They got to be up in that hospital room alone? When it's time to wake up and pick a baby up and rock a baby to sleep, they got to do all that every single time alone. Dropping them to school alone. Practice and stuff alone. Man, Deli, it's heavy for two parents. Could you imagine the ones that got to do it alone? Them boys, they don't think about that. They just go in there to have a little fun. And I, she said, and I, what's going to happen to me after all of this? That right, sister? Tight minute, right? I like that. You see? And boy, if we talk about the child that got to grow up. Listen. It's not like TV play it, man. Let's try to do the second point of the evening, and then we're gonna break camp. All right? I ain't gonna get to point three. But we're gonna do the second point, all right? All right. Tamar in verse 13, she's saying, "Ah, what about me?" But she's so godly. She's so godly. She said, think about the consequences of your actions in regards to my life. But don't only think about it in regards to my life. Think about it for yourself, Amnon. She's saying, whether shall I go cause my shame to go? And as for thee, she says. Have you thought about you? Have you thought about yourself? You won't come here and force me. I'm the king's daughter. You the king's son. You next in line to the throne, man. Have you thought about what you're putting on the table to gamble away? Have you thought about it? You're going to go from runner-up to King David to one of the fools in Israel over a couple of minutes. What? She said, ask for D. What are you doing, Amnon? You see? But lust and sexual immorality make a person lose their mind. You get so caught up in the moment, you don't realize you're playing Russian roulette and you're gambling with everything that God done bless you with here. Oh. Hallelujah. Must have been one of them Rhema words right there. So we do a little hunt. Amen. And one of the best times to hunt, amen, is what they call the rut. You know, those big bucks, the deer, you know, the male deer, very, very hard to get. Very intelligent. Ooh. It's a chess game out there. I'm talking about you got to watch how you smell. I'm looking in the mirror and saying, babe, you think they're going to like this haircut? Or like, you got to watch everything, man. So we out there, and Brother Duck done been blessed. He done caught him a couple of them, you know, or rather one of them, huh, Brother Duck? I was here, we still trying to break, draw first blood, you know? But there's a time of the year when the bucks are easier to get. During the rut. Every other time of the year, they consider themselves. They only come out when they know we not there. I wondered if one of the guys dropped a hunting schedule. You know what I'm saying? The deer out there. But during the rut, no, Pastor, what's the rut? The rut is breeding season. When they're chasing the little women. Hey, God. And during the rut, the deer that was super smart are super dumb. And they running out. You could be standing right, they running out. Hey, you saw that little water? They run out right by you. Hey, you saw that little water? Nobody got a 308 for you. You know what I'm saying? Listen. That's why you got to watch that stuff. That's why you got to watch that stuff. I'm sitting in that woods and I'm thinking about Bible lessons. Remember that one in Georgia we saw just jump down a cliff and run across the street? I said, that's a Hebrew red. I'm just saying, it's a Hebrew red. Running across. I'm thinking to myself, ball running crazy. Tamar says, and as for thee, have you considered yourself before you run out in the open and expose yourself to the enemy's snares and darts? She reasons with him. Not only do we need to think of others in regards to sexual morality, but we need to think of ourselves. We shouldn't participate in it. Quickly, Why? Number one, because it's sin. You say, Pastor, that's the same reason, but I'm a spin it different this time. Don't worry about it. The Holy Ghost could take the same diamond and look at it a different way and get a green and a red and a blue. You see? We shouldn't want to participate in sexual morality because it's us sinning against our God individually. Okay, I understand. You shouldn't want to lead nobody into sin. That's true. But you shouldn't want to sin against him either in your personal capacity. When a Christian sins, a real Christian sins, it should make you feel some kind of way. You should never just be able to sin, amen, and get up and wipe your mouth like you ain't never did nothing. That's not the Christian. If you can do that, check your Christian card. Because there's always going to be some type of, might even be a tear or two. You see, when a Christian sins, what happens is we immediately convicted by the Spirit and some type of way Hebrews 10:29 comes to our spirit, whether we know it or not. Hebrews 10:29 talks about us when we sin, we had trodden underfoot the Son of God and counted the blood of the covenant wherewith we were sanctified as an unholy thing. When a Christian sins, it's like taking Jesus and throwing him on the ground and walking all over him. It's like that precious blood of God that was shed for our sins. We take it as something that's cheap, without value, like it's not the blood of a holy God. You see, because he died for your sins. All right? All right? And if you just keep on sinning, all right, then you just keep piling sin upon him. I don't know about you, but just to know that my sins put him up there make me want to have as little sins as I can. Least sins as I can. Because I know that the payment of my sin wasn't cheap. You understand? All right? You know, they play a little game sometime in houses, amen. And every time a person would do something or say something or be negative, amen, you'd have to put like a dollar or $5 in a jar or something like that. Now, we can't play for curse words because we Christians, we shouldn't be cursing anyway. You understand what I'm saying? But I don't know, people would do that. I don't know, maybe somebody got a problem with negativity and pessimism or whatnot. So you put a little jar in the kitchen or whatever like that, and every time you speak a word without fate or negative, you're going to have to put $2 in the jar. $5. All right? Sooner or later, the person going to realize that me saying these things, not cheap. And I got to pay every time I say that. So quite naturally, amen, you should get to a point to where you stop saying those things because it costs. Your sins cost somebody. Cost him his blood. And it should get to a place, Christian, where you just don't take that lightly. You don't trample him underfoot. You don't count the blood of the covenant as an unholy thing. The Bible says something else. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me see here. In Hebrews 6, it says something about us crucifying the Son of God afresh. It's like the Bible is saying that, hey, amen, I'm saved, but every time I go play around with my old ways, I put him back on that cross. I crucify him afresh. I told you about the time I had that dream when I was in some sin. I had just got saved. I was in some sin. And I really wasn't taking sin seriously at the time. And the Lord sent me a vision. And all I saw was his hands on that cross. And every time I was sinning, I just saw the nail just, and him just, And when I woke up, I knew exactly what he was talking about. I said, that's how much that cost you. Well, we ain't going to play with that no more. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Man. Hallelujah. The supreme motive for avoiding any and all sin should center around the impact of our iniquity upon our God. You know? When you get to the place, amen, where you're just not about you and what you have, you stop sinning, sinning against your God, not for what he could take away from you, but for how bad it hurts him. That's when you're really cooking with grease. You want to know how when we sin feels to God? You want to know how that feels? Think about when your children do you wrong. Some of y'all don't know. Think about when your spouse betray you and stab you in the back. All right, I'm done. I'm going to move on. Well, we shouldn't sin, secondly, amen, because we shouldn't commit sexual sin, secondly, because of bondage. Just like the other one. You see? Quickly, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:12, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. That's what Paul said. Paul said, I'm not going to willingly handcuff myself and enslave myself. And when you participate in sexual sin, amen, no matter what, hallelujah, form it is, you're not leading people into slavery. You're worse than that. You're checking yourself into the plantation. You see? You should want to stay away from sexual morality because you should want to be free. You know? Me and my wife was talking, and she said, nobody ever wake up and say, I want to be an alcoholic. Or I want to be a drug head. Or I want to be hooked to meth. Or I want to be hooked on legal. Or I want to be a street woman. People, that's not their plan. But every single one of those have a time in their life when they pick up that bottle for the first time. Young people, listen to me. Keep yourself pure. Keep yourself pure. Because one will turn into five and five will turn into 20. We stay away because of bondage. Number three. Y'all still up on that? I'm telling you, we all right yet. I'm almost done. Yeah. Number three, death. All right? All right, just think of the story of David again. Think of Samson. Think of Solomon. Amen. You can lose everything. You should be concerned not only with other people losing everything, but yourself losing everything. You know, all the aforementioned things I talked about. As it relates to anointing and the ministry, one commentator says this. He says, sexual morality is the fastest way to drain the anointing and the presence of God from the servant of God. The fastest way. The fastest way. So if you got something and you want to keep it, Stay away from sexual morality. David was never anointed like he was anointed after Bathsheba. There was a difference there. He wasn't operating in the wisdom and the authority that he was operating in. Samson was never the same. Right? That particular sin takes away some favor, some anointing. When Balak, the king of the Moabites, wanted to curse Israel. All right? He hired Balaam, and Balaam there cursing him and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, amen, Balaam gets this revelation, you can't curse what God had blessed. All right? Y'all remember that story? All right? But then Balaam came back and he said, listen, I know how you can curse him. You get God to curse him. You get God to take away what he done put on him. You see? See, the devil can't take away what God done put on you. Woo! But he can get you, amen, through sexual morality to disqualify yourself. In essence, taking it off yourself. And the way the story goes with Moab and Balak and Balaam, they convince Balak to send Moabite women into the camp of Israel. And Israel began to sin, sexual immorality. In Ichabod, the favor, the glory, the anointing was gone. And they began to fall before their enemies. Who am I talking to here? You had something, but you don't have it no more. You could do things a little easier than you do it now. Had more favor. Have you checked your purity lately? The good news is that Samson's hair grows back. And all you got to do is repent before your God. And God will put you back where you was. But you got to be wise enough to see where you left it at. Where was the last time I had it? I guarantee you're going to find it someplace where sexual immorality went on. When I can't find something at the house, my wife say, think about the last place you put it. When was the last time you had it? You remember Joseph? Now, Joseph, he didn't fall into sexual morality. He told Potiphar's wife, no. All right? God bless you. If Joseph wouldn't have told Potiphar's wife, no, he would have never became second in command in Egypt. Think about it now. He told her no. She put a false accusation upon him. He ended up in jail with the butler and the baker. Interpreted a dream. Pharaoh had a dream. They found the interpreter in prison. Let's play that back another way. He sleep with Potiphar's wife. No jail time. In sin. The favor, the glory is gone. I dare tell you that if Joseph would have committed sexual immorality with Potiphar's wife, he would have stayed a slave. Oh, which begs the question, huh? How many promotions you done passed up? How many seasons when God came through to see if he was going to lift somebody up and bless somebody and anoint somebody and put somebody in a leadership role? And because you didn't play the Joseph, but you played the Samson, God had to pass you up and pick a neighbor that was better than you. It's no slight on you. And don't get mad at me. Because if you would have got this word 10 years ago, your life would be completely different. You with me so far? All right? All right? I'm trying to put you in position to get blessed. He's looking at these things. His purity put him in position for promotion. If you're single here, Holy Ghost telling me keep going. I'm sorry, y'all. If you're single here or you're a young person, listen good. We harp on purity, abstinence, virginity for a reason. If you get married pure, all right, there is a 98% chance that your marriage is going to be successful and it's never going to end up in divorce. Those that keep themselves till marriage have a 2% divorce rate. I mean, out of 100 pure, only 2 got a divorce. And like my wife said, that was probably because the money was funny. All right? So purity equals success in marriage. We're trying to teach y'all something. For those who don't keep themselves, hey God, without the help of the Most High and His grace and mercy being with us, the divorce rate is somewhere around what, y'all? 50%, over 50%. And that's true in the church as well. We strive to keep ourselves pure. We strive to keep our children pure. We don't want them to go through what we have them to go through. We want their marriages to be sound. We want them to be married one and done. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Now I'm going to keep pushing. All right, here we go. We shouldn't sin, amen, with sexual morality because it's a sin against the body. All right? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is without the body. But he that committed fornication sinned against his own body. Listen to me. When we steal, we just steal. Amen? But it normally don't affect our body. When we sin in sexual immorality, amen, it affects the body. It hurts the body. It harms the body. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, I'm talking about, amen, sexually transmitted diseases. I'm talking about sicknesses and things of that sort. You destroy your own body, amen, when you commit sexual immorality, amen. When you be with somebody that's not your wife and not your husband, amen, you can get diseases. STD, HIV, AIDS, amen. And that's just scripture coming to life. You're sinning against your own body here. That's what he's saying. The CDC says 110 million Americans have sexual transmitted diseases. 110 million. Listen to me good. There's only 318 million Americans. And 110 million of them walking around with something. So when you go around sleeping with this one and that one, and the statistics show that 1 out of 3 got something, it's easy that you're going to get something out of the deal. You with me so far? Out of the 33% that have something, 25% of them have something that's incurable, meaning that they're going to have it and they're going to always have it. This makes it very complicated when you're trying to get married. Listen, young person, if you don't keep yourself and you're sleeping around, you done slept with 6 people, amen, hallelujah, you got a large chance of getting an STD. And when you get that STD, when it's time to get married, now on the wedding night, you got something to explain to your husband. Oh, y'all don't want to talk about that. Y'all don't want to talk about that. All right? I'm trying to tell somebody who ain't been through it so they won't have to go through it. All right? All right? Listen to me. If somebody would have told you, you wouldn't be in a situation you in. You see? Yeah. Number 5, evil spirits. Come on. She said, just don't consider others, consider yourself. Consider the negative effects of sexual immorality upon yourself, Amnon. Sin, bondage. You know what I'm saying? Sin against your body, death, but also evil spirits. 1 Corinthians 6:16. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body with that harlot? For 2 said he shall be one flesh. You see, you become one with the people that you're intimate with. It's a spiritual exchange that takes place. We call it a soul tie. And the problem with that is that just like diseases transfer, spirits transfer too. In fact, the diseases are only just a physical manifestation to let us know that something is transferring, that there is actually an exchange that's going on. There's commerce going on here. There's communication that's going on here. You see? And what we don't realize is we just thinking about the diseases, but there's something worse than the disease. Yes, you fornicate with somebody with 1,000 evil spirits in them. You don't believe that's possible. You don't remember the man at the Gadarenes? Yeah, right. Well, say, what's your name? He say, Legion. Because there'd be many in us. Go lay down with that girl. That old girl got legion in her. I'm talking to her, hey, you want some water? No, I don't want no water. Legion. Why y'all bad, Jack? Yeah, but look, those 1,000 spirits in her, when you lay with her, 1,000 on you, baby. Listen to me, you can't just be going anywhere, laying from pillar to post, man. Can't be doing no stuff like that. There's commerce that's going on. There's an exchange going on. That's why a lot of our brothers here, amen, have been with so many. Hallelujah, they're struggling with so many different complications. And they think it's just mental, amen, but a lot of that stuff be spiritual. Because you go lay with that woman with depression, and now you depressed. You go lay with that woman with schizophrenia, and now you schizophrenic. You ain't never had a problem with that. You go talk to yourself, not me, no, you, not me, not you. You know what I'm saying? What happened? You're going to lay up with that woman. Same thing with the woman laying up with that man. You don't know what that man got. That man got that lust problem, and you ain't never had a lust problem. Now you're looking at all the muscles on the internet. You ain't never had that problem before. Listen, and this is one that's real. Somebody go lay with somebody from the street with a drug problem. Man, I done met attorneys, man, that done sat down and talked with me, man. You see, I ain't never had a problem like that. Man, how did you get on that, man? How did you do that? Man, you was a millionaire, man. What happened to you, man? Messing with the wrong women. That's all he can tell me, but I know the spiritual implications of that. You went lay with somebody with some spirits in them and them things jump on you. Now you can't stop doing the drug. You ain't never done a drug in your life. We gotta go. We gotta go. The Bible say, drink waters out of thine own cistern. Running waters out thine own well. Don't you be drinking in no ditch, man. You don't know what's in that ditch. Last one, hell. And we're going to get out of here on hell. Why shouldn't we participate in sexual immorality? Huh? We shouldn't do it for all the aforementioned reasons, but Primarily, but one of the most important ones is because hell. Revelations 21:8, but the fearful, unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers. That's people that's just messing around. When I say fornication, that means that you're with a woman and y'all not married. You're with a man and y'all not married. You qualify for this text. Adultery, homosexuality, pedophilia. Listen. You mess around and die in the condition that you're in right now. All right? You're going to bust hell wide open. You're going to bust hell wide open. Proverbs 7:24, talking about the strange woman. It say, listen. It say, her house is the way to hell in verse 27. her house is on the way. Meaning like when you, while you going to hell? Let me stop by her house right quick. Let me run up in there right quick. Because you always, you, her house is on the way there. All right, who on the way to hell tonight? Where's your hand? I'm joking. I'm joking. You don't want it. Stay away from fornication. Sin, bondage, death. You sin against your body. Evil spirits, hell. Next time we come, we're going to talk about what the king has done. Because the king has done some things to keep us from this. He's given us some options, some alternatives, some weaponry, some things that we can do to stay completely away from it and live a victorious life. But in order to receive those things, we got to speak unto the king. And so we're going to talk about that next Tuesday, God Spare Life. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your people. I thank you for them staying up late with me. I thank you that they don't allow me to tell a half-truth. But they want the whole truth. I'm praying, God, that this truth would sanctify us and keep us. Engrave it upon our hearts so that we and our children can be pure. Father, if there's anybody who don't know you in this place, who living in sin, but they want to do right, and they don't want to go to hell, God, and they don't want to trample over your cross and your blood anymore. They don't want to hurt your heart, God. I pray tonight you bring them to repentance and that you forgive them. I'm not judging them, God, because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory. I'm not judging them because the wages of all of our sins is death. I'm not trying to act better than them, God, because I know that I was in that place one time, but I just called upon you. And the Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God, save them in here tonight. Like you saved me and you saved my little wife, save them in here tonight. And change them like you changed me, you changed my little wife. Change them in here tonight. Put a purity on the inside of them. Put a holiness on the inside of them. If you're under the sound of my voice, say with me, say, Lord, thank you for the truth. You said I would know the truth, and the truth would set me free. Now, Lord, I admit I've done wrong, and I'm sorry. But I believe that you died on the cross for all my sins. You were buried in the grave, and on the third day, you rose with all power and all might. Lord, save me, a sinner. And use me for your glory. Purify me. Help me, Lord, when I get weak. Purify me. Help me, Lord, when temptation comes. Use me, God, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Love y'all. May the Lord bless you, keep you, cause his face to shine upon you. Bless you with peace. In Jesus' name, amen.